the National Organization of Women has gone full-blown Marxist.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let's do this. Let's get in the line of fire together. Michael Brown, delighted to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. I'm going to open up the phone lines for anything and everything, whatever in the world you want to talk to me about, ask me about, probe me on, challenge me on. If it relates in any way to the line of fire, we're not going to talk sports or economy or things that are irrelevant to the line of fire or things in which I have no expertise, but anything that ties in with anything I've ever covered. I've got over 7-8 million words in print, and God knows how many words out there and messages. If it ties in with anything we've ever talked about, it's open game. It's open season. Call in 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. Now, I'll tell you why I'm doing that today also. We're going to cover some ground. We're going to have some really interesting discussion. We're going to expose some of the cultural madness as I function as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. This is why I am here on the air for you, to infuse you with faith and truth and courage. But I'm opening the phones today because tomorrow afternoon, after the radio broadcast, God willing, I head to the airport to fly to Italy. I haven't been in Italy for a few years. It'll be my 28th trip to Italy. And we'll be doing 5 intensive days of ministry, a national conference, and then ministering for a couple of my spiritual sons there, and then back with you 1 week later. So we'll have some pre-recorded broadcasts, but I won't be able to take live calls end of the week, beginning of the next week. So we'll just open up the phones now. So anything you want to talk about, any subject, doesn't have to relate to anything I'm talking about today. Phone lines are open. It can be a Bible question, as well as talking about what's happening with the Jewish people, as well as talking about what's happening in the world around us, as well as telling me why you think I'm so wrong. 866-348-7884. If you're not getting our frontline newsletter, that also means you're not getting a notice about all the articles I'm writing. Critically important things happening with the Jewish people right now. I wrote an urgent article last night telling every Christian, you've got to speak up. You've got to tell the Jewish people, we're standing with you. When people come against you with Jew hatred, with the demonizing of Israel as a whole, and with this garbage that it's advocating and celebrating the killing of Israelis and killing of Jews, it's time for the church to stand like never before. And I wrote a passionate article with some very intense quotes. Maybe I'll share some of it later with you. It's critical we get this out and that you do what you can. So if you're not getting our frontline newsletter, it means you're not getting our email announcements. So by all means, go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click subscribe on the homepage. Everything we send your way is free, thelineoffire.org. All right. I wrote an article a couple of days ago. It's posted on the Line of Fire website. And the title is this: The National Organization of Women would leave even Karl Marx scratching his head. The National Organization of Women would leave even Karl Marx scratching his head. I start the article by talking about something that happened about 40 years ago, as I recall, because I seem to remember where I was. And I saw a TV ad on a Christian network, and it had the Bible translators presenting the King James Bible to King James, presenting it to him. And he opens it, he's very happy. And then he reads, in Psalm 18, with the froward, thou wilt shew thyself froward, or froward. With the froward, thou wilt shew thyself froward. And he looks up and says, what is froward? In other words, that the King James English was even old English for King James. That was the story of the ad. Whether it's accurate or not, I don't know. But that didn't happen. That thing didn't happen. But whether froward was an old word, an old English vocabulary, even then, I don't know that. But the point was, hey, we need a language, a Bible translation in modern language. That was the point of it. But, you know, it was presented to King James, and he doesn't even understand it, right? So why I was thinking of that was I read this statement by the National Organization of Women. And remember, they're radical feminist, radical pro-abortion. We pray for their salvation. We pray for them to come to know the Lord Jesus died for them, just like he died for a homeschooling mom, shed the same blood for all of us, wants to see us come to know his love, right? But ideologically, we are poles apart. We are ideological enemies in terms of the views that we have are polar opposites on so many key issues for marriage, family, women, abortion, life of the baby, etc. So they posted something and ended up getting deleted for good reason after ridicule. And it was a few weeks back. I only spotted it earlier this week, but I thought, this is so radically Marxist that you could show it to Karl Marx, and he's like, what is this? What? Karl Marx couldn't even get it because it's so radical and extreme. So here is the post. This was on X, formerly Twitter, from NOW, National Organization of Women. Repeat after us, weaponizing womanhood against other women is white supremacist patriarchy at work. It's hard to read this with a straight face. Making people believe there isn't enough space for trans women in sports is white supremacist patriarchy at work. Let me read it once more. Repeat after us. I love the mantra, like the brainwashing mantra. Weaponizing womanhood against other women is white supremacist patriarchy at work. Making people believe there isn't enough space for trans women in sports is white supremacist patriarchy at work. And I wrote, I could picture Karl Marx, the arch proponent of class warfare, reading this several times over and then asking, what in the world does any of this have to do with white supremacist patriarchy? And what on earth are trans women? So I think, what are they even saying? Forget the logic behind it. What does it even mean? And sometimes that's many statements of the radical left, it can be so esoteric and abstract, and we get it. It's like, what does it even mean? So Christopher Tremogli, writing in the Washington Examiner, said this: NOW's post should undoubtedly be the metaphorical nail in the coffin for the contemporary hyperbolic hysteria associated with the words white supremacy and patriarchy. Much like claiming that men can become women, these phrases are also delusional works of the corrupted lexicology of the 21st century. Objecting to men competing as women has nothing to do with race. However, being that accusations of racism have been the bread and butter of left-wing political discourse for decades, whoever crafted this post for NOW was just repeating this toxic and baseless behavior. Let me give you an illustration here for a minute, all right? And we'll get back to my article in a moment. Let's just say you're playing ball, right? Your kids, you got, you know, one kid is the ump as you're playing a game, you know, you're playing softball or something, and you got one of the kids can't play that day, so he's just going to be the umpire. He's got a sore leg. And let's say there's a call you don't like. It's just white supremacist patriarchy. It's like, what's that got to do with anything? You could all be Asian, you could all be Native American, you could all be Jewish, you could all be white, you could all be black, it could be girls playing. This is white supremacist patriarchy. It's like, what does it mean? It has no meaning whatsoever. You get your food at a fast food place and you realize they gave you the wrong order, and you bring it back saying, hey, you gave me the wrong order. Well, you're just trying to pull white supremacist patriarchy on us. The phrase is just used with no meaning. Have there been issues of patriarchal oppression of women in world history? Of course. In parts of the world to this day, of course. And have there been issues with white supremacist attitudes that have suppressed others in history? Of course. No one's arguing that. But not everything is white supremacist patriarchy. And the more you throw the words out, the more you're saying, we have no argument. We have no moral argument. We have no ideological argument. We have no logical argument. We just have rhetoric. Repeat after us. Repeat the rhetoric. Let me keep going here. Riley Gaines, the swimmer who has spoken out, female athlete who has spoken out against having to compete against males who identify as women. Here's what Riley Gaines says. I've never seen so many oppression buzzwords in one sentence. Apparently, advocating for fair sport makes me a white supremacist. I wonder if my attorney will agree. But hang on. Riley Gaines is white. Oh, but there's only one issue. She is a she. She is a woman. She is a biological female. So how is this white supremacist patriarchy at work when she says it's not fair for biological men to compete against women? Here's another quote. This is Taylor Silverman. She is a skateboarder. She said this, I take the National Organization for Women claiming that fairness in women's sports is white supremacy about as seriously as I take them claiming men can be women. They are blinded by this lie and desperate to scare people into silence. Men in women's sports impacts all women, including minorities that the National Organization for Women seemingly want to erase to push their ridiculous narrative. And I said, she's absolutely correct. There's no world in which Now's comments can be taken seriously. Biological men competing against women hurts black female athletes as much as white female athletes. How, then, is the call to fairness in sports an example of white supremacist patriarchy at work? And when female athlete after female athlete denounces the dangerous practice of allowing biological males who are bigger and stronger and faster than females to compete against females, how is this white supremacist patriarchy at work? Really now, what does any of this have to do with whiteness, let alone white supremacy, let alone the patriarchy? When tennis great Martina Navratilova, herself a feminist and a lesbian, decries male bodies in women's sports, how is this white supremacist patriarchy at work? And if the father of a teen daughter raises concerns about his daughter being forced to share a locker room with a biological male with his plumbing still intact, how is this white supremacist patriarchy at work? What kind of social madness is this? Yeah, well, this is what's out there. But here's why I'm happy with it. It's so absurd, it's so crazy, it's so over the top that only those who aren't thinking rationally are going to embrace it. We can change hearts and minds just by being rational, logical, truthful.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness. Being aware of the dangers of homocysteine is crucial to protecting our health. This natural occurring amino acid that the body creates plays a vital role. But when elevated in excess, it can pose significant risk to our health. One of the dangers of elevated homocysteine is the impact on cardiovascular health. Research has shown that high homocysteine can contribute to heart disease, stroke, and other cardiovascular conditions. Another risk factor, it has been linked to cognitive decline and neurodegenerative conditions. One of the best ways to manage homocysteine is to supplement with B12, B6, and folate found in Trivita's HCY Guard. In my own wellness journey, I was concerned because of family history. My grandfather passed away at 41 years of age with heart failure. My father was diagnosed with heart disease at 38 years of age. When I was made aware of the dangers of homocysteine, I knew I would find a supplement formula to help manage my own health. It was with that knowledge that HCY Guard was developed at Trivita Wellness. It is a favorite supplement for those wanting to manage homocysteine and promote cardiovascular health.
To order HCY Guard for yourself or someone you care about, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. 1-800-771-5584 or online at TRIVITA, TRIVITA.com.
Even though I don't hear music or an intro, perhaps a feed just cut out, this is Michael Brown. Welcome back to The Line of Fire. The number to call is 866-348-7884. That is 866-348-7884. I've got more to say about National Organization of Women, the absurd statement there, some other things I want to cover with you. I wrote an urgent appeal to believers, an urgent appeal to Christians to stand with the Jewish people today. Please help share this article. Get informed. There's some very intense quotes in it, very intense. I just want to warn you in advance from Jews and Christians from the past that will really shout loudly to you. You can go to thelineoffire.org, click read for the latest article, and you'll see it, thelineoffire.org, click read. All right, let us go to the phones, and we'll start with Christopher in Kernersville, North Carolina. Welcome to The Line of Fire. Hello, Christopher. Are you there? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. I'm calling. I'd like to hear what your understanding is of Abraham. You know of Abraham telling Pharaoh, I think it was, that Sarah was not his
wife. Oh, okay. Abraham
wife,
telling Pharaoh, yes.
Yeah. Sister, yep. Is that a lie, or is that somehow excused? How do you understand that?
It's The Line of Fire, yep, with your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
We just had a little glitch there, but we keep going. Okay, my apologies for that interruption. Okay, so Abraham and Pharaoh, that's in Genesis, the 12th chapter. When I immediately started to interrupt, I thought you were talking about Moses and Pharaoh later. So he does it twice. He also does it with the king of Gerar, Abimelech, in Genesis 20. It was deceptive. On the one hand, she was a half-sister. Now, under later Israelite law, that was forbidden. So a half-sister, same father, different mother. All right? So she was a half-sister, but he lied. It was deceitful, and he did it just thinking, hey, you know, if I say it's my wife, then they're going to kill me and take her because she's even though she's an older woman, she's beautiful. So it was deceitful. It was an agreement that they made because there was some truth to it, but it was ultimately deceitful, which is why he gets rebuked, you know, by these kings. Like, hey, we could have taken her and slept with her, and then what? You know, and that would be guilty of sleeping with another man's wife because we didn't know any better. So Abraham, with all of his exemplary behavior, still had human weakness, and that was, it was a half lie, but it was deceitful.
Okay, that's pretty much the way I understand it.
Yep.
Now, later, I think in the even in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, Abraham is pointed or distinguished by God to be
a great man of faith, a great man of faith. Yep. Yeah, so here's the deal. He was a human being, and he trusted God for the impossible. He trusted God to be able to have a child when it was impossible for his body, as he was 100 years old and his wife, she was 90 and past the age of conceiving or bearing a child. So he was able to believe God for that and trust God, and trust God in many other ways, and yet he was still human and had some frailties and rationalized his way into certain things instead of simply trusting God's protection and saying, she's my wife, and trusting God to protect them there. So a man of faith, but a frail human being like everyone else that was not perfect, and that's one of the things the Bible does. It speaks honestly. It speaks honestly about leaders and heroes, that they had blemishes too. All right, 866-348-7884. Let's go to Janine in Aurora, Colorado. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I'm wondering if you could please tell me what the truth is about Palestinians being kicked out of their homes in 1948. Not really informed about this. So were just regular citizens evicted from their homes?
Yeah, so here's what happened. The mass eviction was from Jews and all the surrounding countries. 800,000 Jews were evicted from their homes in the surrounding Middle Eastern countries with the formation of the modern state of Israel in 1948 and had to flee for their lives. That's historical, undeniable. A number of factors happened together in 1947, 1948. The UN partition plan was accepted by the Jewish people in 1947 and then implemented in 1948. It was rejected by the surrounding Arab nations and by the Arab peoples. They were not called Palestinians then. They were just Arabs that were living in the land. It was rejected by all of them, and the word was, we will drive the Jews into the sea. So when Israel declared its independence, the five surrounding nations, so Egypt, Iraq, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, etc., the surrounding nations declared war on Israel, and now it was a war for Israel's very existence. So in the midst of that war, several things happened. There were between 600,000 and 700,000 Arabs living in the land, which we now call Palestinians, but they weren't called Palestinians then. They left. Why did they leave? Many left because the Arab leadership said, leave. A cannon can't distinguish between a Jew and a Gentile. Between a Jew and an Arab. Leave. When we drive the Jews into the sea, come back. So many left on their own volition. Others left just because there was war going on and it was dangerous to be there. And others left because they were driven out by the Jewish army in the midst of the war. However, the Jewish posture, the national posture, they printed leaflets in Arabic. They made announcements on Arabic radio saying, stay, there's room enough in the land, let's be neighbors. So what ultimately happened was that 600,000 to 700,000 did leave, but 200,000 stayed. Those 200,000 are now over 2 million today living in Israel. That's 20% of the population of Israel. And they have more rights living in Israel than the Palestinians living under Palestinian authority in Judea Samaria, called the West Bank, or living in Gaza under Hamas. What I'd encourage you to do for more detailed history is to go to our YouTube channel, The Line of Fire, on YouTube, and just search for the word occupier. I did a lecture at a university in Florida some years back asking the question, is Israel an evil occupier? Is Israel an evil occupier? I go back through actual quotes from 1947, 1948. I explain how each plan that was offered to the Arabs living there years earlier, the Peel Commission in the 1930s said, hey, the Jews get a little part of the land, Arabs get everything else. They said, no, it's our country. And then same thing with the UN partition plan, 47, 48. They refused it. If the Arab leadership had accepted it, there would have been a two-state solution. Now, going back almost 90 years, actually, if the leadership had accepted it. They rejected it. They rejected the one in 47, 48. And then they've rejected various things that have come their way since. So in any war, you're going to have things that happen that are bad. So Israel was not perfect in its engaging in war any more than the Allies taking out the Nazis were perfect, and there were German casualties. But number one, many left on their own accord because their leadership told them, flee, and we'll drive the Jews into the sea. That's number one. Number two, others just left because there's war, and they didn't want war going on. And then number three, others left because they were driven out by the Israeli army in the midst of the war. But those that stayed have prospered and grown and have more liberties than anybody else in the Middle East, any other Arab Muslim people in the Middle East living under Israel. They have representation in the parliament. They've had Supreme Court justices. So that's the reality. Go to the Line of Fire YouTube channel and search for Occupier, and you'll find the full-length lecture that should really help you out. God bless. Hey, friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name. Not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world. God's people standing up saying enough is enough and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team because we are on the front lines together. And we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support. Thelineoffire.org, click donate, monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount on our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly support.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Right before the broadcast today, I signed the first 59 copies. I've got more to sign of the pre-order of Turn the Tide, numbered signed copies, How to Ignite a Cultural Awakening. One of my friends read this book, one of my colleagues, and got back to me. We sent him an advance copy, and he was flipping out. He was so excited. And he said, every homeschooling parent, everyone involved in raising kids, they have to get this. And Christians in the business world, they have to get this because we lay out strategies, practical Bible-based strategies as to how we can have a positive impact on our culture in the midst of the cultural madness, how we can be positive agents of change. You'll be inspired and you'll be instructed. So you can still pre-order. We'll do our best to sign as many as we can before I leave for Italy tomorrow to get them out to you as soon as possible. So go to thelineoffire.org. Right on the homepage, you can see where you can pre-order your copy of Turn the Tide. I believe this book is going to be must reading, a holy manifesto for cultural change through the gospel. So before I go to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH, I want to go back to some of the radical social agenda that is out there today and how the pushback continues. As we've said for years, the left is going to overplay its hand, and therefore there's going to be a societal pushback. The key for its success is ultimately for the church to lead the way in this pushback. There's an article I have here, just saw it right before the show today, posted on foxnews.com. Jillian Michaels, apparently a celebrity fitness trainer, says evidence, quote, irrefutable, trans athletes should not compete against girls. Middle school girls in West Virginia protest after losing to a transgender shot put competitor. And Jillian Michaels said this, you've got two competing goals in sports. One is inclusion, which everybody can understand and get on board with. However, the second goal that's in direct opposition with inclusion is going to be a fair competition. And if that's your priority, if your overriding priority is going to be fairness over inclusion, you've got to turn to the data. And the data irrefutably shows that biological males are 10 to 30% stronger, faster, have better endurance, better aerobic capacity across the board. So you have so many instances now, it's several hundred I haven't documented all of them, but I've been reading lists now of several hundred cases documented where a male who identifies as a female has defeated females, in some cases crushingly, and in some cases doing physical harm to them. Like in a volleyball game, a biological male spikes the ball, hits the head of a girl so violently that she's concussed. Or a team at halftime, girls' basketball team, quits the game. Coach pulls them off the court because of the physical violence of a male player identifying as a female, grabbing the ball and rough with the female players. It's not fair, and it's not safe. And it is sanity that will prevail. You sound like a bigot. Oh, I sound like a bigot because I say that there should be fairness in sports. I sound like a bigot because I say that a girl that works her whole life to get an athletic scholarship somewhere shouldn't be deprived of that scholarship because there's a biological male who gets in her place. It would be like saying there's an all-girls school, and the ones that get into the all-girls school are the ones who are the tallest and the fastest. It's like, well, guys just identify as girls because they'll be taller and faster. They get into the all-girls school. Is that fair? No, it's bigoted to take the position that how they happen to perceive themselves take precedence over fairness and safety, even ethics. There was an editorial in the Charlotte Observer years ago when we were involved in meetings with city council and school board and helping to lead the way with some of our other friends in the community to speak out against this madness. It was saying that every public bathroom or school bathroom locker room has to be gender neutral, and however you identify, you get to use the place of your choice. And the Charlotte Observer, to their lasting shame, said that girls will just have to get used to the presence of male genitalia in their locker rooms. I mean, what kind of absurd, gross, obscene thinking is that? And it goes on and on. We must not get weary of pushing back because the light is shining, the tide is turning. And even though there's so much pain and so much suffering because so many young people are transitioning and getting sterilized for life and getting castrated, chemically castrated and generally mutilated, and only to find out years later they made a terrible mistake. So we have to keep speaking that a lot of bad stuff is happening, but eyes are being opened. Eyes are being opened. One other news item, just to say we've got to stay vigilant. How about this? California school, let me get this story here. California attempts to sink citizen initiative mandating schools inform parents of a child's preferred identity. So the state of California is trying to stop when parents saying, hey, if you're going to change our kid's identity at school and you're going to start saying that Sarah is Sam or that Sam is Sarah and the other students will be required to refer to Sarah as Sam and as he or to Sam as Sarah, as she. But we're not going to let the parent. We're not going to let the parents know. So, of course, there's a massive pushback against this. And the state is trying to remove parental rights for the oversight of their children. These kids could be led in a way that leads to their suicide, to terrible decisions as they're getting older, to even separation from parents being taken out of the homes. This is an outrage. We must continue to speak and act. By the way, it's another reason why Turn the Tide is essential reading. Dr. Al Mohler said this. What's going on here? This is a proposed citizen initiative in the state of California that isn't radical at all. It would simply say that if you have a child in that public school, in the public schools, who identifies as and is identified as a transgender identity, or for that matter, a non-binary identity, if the child is presenting a different identity at school than home, the parents need to be informed. You'll notice that the California state authorities, the California education authorities, in terms of the public schools, don't want that to happen. Parents, speak up. Stand up. We must make our voices heard. Otherwise, it's on us. It's on us. When society goes to hell in a handbasket and we didn't speak and we didn't act and we didn't stand. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go over to Jesse in Minnesota. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Are you there? Okay, maybe not. Let's go to New York. Rick, welcome to the Line of Fire. Thanks for calling. Are you there? Okay, I'm having that sneaking feeling that there is a problem on the lines. Truth, could you let us know what is happening as I send multiple question marks to our studio there? All right, well, you can try to call, unless those calls just dropped out, 866-348-7884. But I don't know what happened to our callers. The joy of doing live radio with multiple studios and facilities all involved at the same time. All right, looks like Jesse and Rick are trying to connect again. So we'll get this worked out, and then we'll get both of these gentlemen on the line as soon as we can. 866-348-7884. I am not pulling my hair out. I am not losing my mind. I am not discouraged, even though there's so much crazy stuff happening in the world around us. Number one, because Jesus is Lord, because God is my Father, because God rules and reigns, and that's where my focus is more than anything happening in this world. That's number one. Number two, I know that in the midst of the craziness, he is working out good purposes. He is saving and delivering and healing and glorifying his Son. And the same God who promised me in 1983 that I would serve in a revival that would touch the whole world. I was privileged to do that from 96 to 2000 in Pensacola. Several million people cumulatively came from 130 nations and were touched in the Brownsville revival. That same God promised me that as surely as there was a civil rights movement in America, that there would be a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. I get to be in the thick of it. And we're seeing it unfold little by little. We're seeing the pushback unfold. In fact, I want to read something to you from a Christian attorney friend of mine. He said this, just sent it out to a small group of leaders. On a totally unrelated note, an interesting trend is developing in red states. More are taking action against major banks that close accounts of conservative groups of the troublesome variety at the prodding of leftist instigators. So, oh, you don't want to do business with them. They're radical, they're extreme, they're dangerous, and their bank accounts are being closed. States are increasingly taking action and withdrawing all state funds from those banks, hitting them where it hurts. Those banks will be crying uncle soon. So the state's saying, you're going to close the account of a conservative organization because you don't like their ideology? What? Well, then we're taking our money out. This is the kind, he says, of organized response we need to lessen the left's control and influence in corporate America. It took conservatives a while to figure this out, and it's overdue. We're already seeing a rollback of DEI focus in major corporations, with more companies totally dropping the references in their annual reports. He adds, in a similar vein, Disney reached a settlement with Florida, and insiders say the new understanding is that the company will stay out of political issues like the absurd and misleading Don't Say Gay campaign, which cost them a good chunk of their family base. My family is an example. Disney vacations were regular events when the kids were young, and we swore them off many years ago. Likewise, wealthy Ivy League alumni are revoking funding over the current anti-Semitic lunacy on campuses. Notice how quickly that got presidents removed and prodded university responses to end their demonstrations. Bottom line, the worship of mammon trumps the latest lefty cause du jour. He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. And that's one of the strategies in Turn the Tide in terms of follow the money trail. All right. I am just going to confirm that we are good with our callers on the other side of the break. We will go there momentarily. 866-348-7884. Be encouraged. Jesus rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, sits at the right hand of the Father, is coming back. We'll have the final verdict of history, and we stand together with him as overcomers.
Are you experiencing fatigue, heart palpitations, or tingling in your hands and feet? These may be signs that you are deficient in vitamin B12, which may increase your risk of serious cardiovascular conditions without you even knowing it. I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health and director of wellness services at Trivita, and I have some exciting news for you. Introducing Trivita's HCY Guard, the breakthrough sublingual B12 natural supplement scientifically formulated to support maximum absorption and support healthy levels of homocysteine. What is homocysteine, you may ask? Well, it's an amino acid that, when elevated, can cause damage to the lining of your arteries, which over time increases your overall risk for a cardiovascular event. Trivita's HCY Guard is highly absorbable because of its sublingual form and because of its methylated form of B12, which enhances its bioavailability, maximizing its crucial role in reducing unhealthy levels of homocysteine. And here's the best part. The B12 and other active ingredients in Trivita's HCY Guard support healthy energy production, brain function, nerve function, and enhancing your overall well-being. So if you're ready to take charge of your heart health and support your body's natural defenses against artery damage, then get your pack of Trivita's HCY Guard today.
To order HCY Guard for yourself or someone you care about, go to Trivita.com, spelled T-R-I-V-I-T-A, and use promo code BROWN25 for 25% off your order. Or call 1-800-771-5584. That's 1-800-771-5584. These statements are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, shout out to our friends at Trivita. Thank you so much for putting out such great health wellness resources and for being so super generous to help us get on more stations and reach more people with the Line of Fire. Check out these great resources for yourself. I use them daily. Supplements my super healthy diet and lifestyle. Trivita.com. If you go to use the code BROWN25, you can call 800-771-5584. Tell them Dr. Brown sent you. All right, let's try this again. Jesse, are you there?
Yes.
All right. Sorry about that. Not sure what happened, but glad you're there. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, well, I first want to say that I've been reading your book, Go and Sin No More, and I just feel like this book is really important for today as well. I could totally see this going along with the other books you've been releasing recently. And I'm getting a lot out of it. And so I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And yeah, look, just basically believers living godly lives, believers finding God's grace to overcome sin and live transformed lives, that's going to affect the culture around us as we just live differently, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, my question was about your Ordo Salutis. I know that you have more or less an Armenian Wesleyan sort of soteriology, but I've also heard that it's a little bit different. So I'm curious how you would frame that, or if it would be anything different about Armenian and Wesleyan.
No, not really different. You know, sometimes I just don't like categories because I don't think so much in terms of systematic theology as much as exegesis of texts. And then you kind of just put together what you get from the text, and it may fit into a standard theology, it may not. But no, the basic order would be the same, that we are lost in our sin, that we're unable to save ourselves, that we're spiritually dead, meaning separated from God, that we do have a will that can say yes or no, but our choice will ultimately be no in ourselves. So God comes, the gospel is the power of God to salvation. So Romans 1:16, the gospel carries the power of salvation in it. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the message of Christ. So as that message is preached, then there is what we call prevenient grace. There is God working on the heart of the human being, and we can say yes or no. So as many as received him, John 1:12, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. So we receive him, and as we receive him, we are born again. We go from death to life. We go from darkness to light, from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. So we receive him, we trust, we put our trust in him. At that moment, we are born again, as opposed to the Calvinist view that you are born again and then you believe, which, with all respect to my Calvinist friends, I find to be scripturally out of order.
And then just one follow-up. I just wanted to know if you ever think there is a kind of point of no return, and maybe this would be synonymous with blaspheming the Holy Spirit, or maybe it would be something different. But I'm curious about your perspective on that as well.
Yeah, I do believe there are points of no return. I don't know that I could tell you I know a person that has gone that way for sure, and they're hopeless and don't even pray for them. There are people that I know have heard the gospel and resisted it and mocked it and resisted it for so many years, you wonder if they've hardened their heart beyond the point of recovery. You know, Proverbs 29:1 says that the one who is often reproved yet hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Or 2 Chronicles 36:16, that they mocked the message of the prophets to the point that there was no remedy. They refused, and judgment came. So I do know there's a line that can be crossed. It could well be synonymous with the Holy Spirit, with blaspheming the Holy Spirit, that the heart is so hardened that even when it sees the Holy Spirit doing glorious work in front of its eyes, it attributes it to the work of the devil, or just that hardness of heart that ultimately utterly rejects God. But there's a reading of Hebrews 6:4-6 that says that if anyone falls away, they can't be renewed in repentance. I don't believe that's the right way to read that. I believe that's written to a Jewish audience, Jewish believers, and saying if you go back to the old temple worship, if you go back to your old way and think that you don't need the Messiah, you're crucifying him afresh. And as long as you're in that state, there is no salvation, there is no redemption, there is no forgiveness. But I don't believe it's saying that if someone falls away, they can't come back. And most of us over the years, if you live long enough, you'll see someone leave the faith and by God's grace come back. That's the whole message of the prodigal son. So I hold out hope for people that I knew in the Lord that turned away. One of my friends, it was 45 years praying and hoping and occasional interaction, and God brought him back, you know, saved early on before me, and we walked in the Lord together, and he fell away. He was away from the Lord like 45 years, but on fire today, burning bright. But yes, certainly there is a point of no return, and a person like that has no interest in God, no interest in the gospel, is absolutely hard-hearted and have rejected and is like steel. They're not truly struggling, and I want to come back, but I can't. They have no interest. They have crossed that point of no return. I don't know for sure that I could say I know I can identify people like that, but they do exist.
All right. Thank you so much for answering my questions, Dr. Brown.
You are very welcome. God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. We go back to Rick in New York. Thanks for reconnecting. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I have an embarrassing question today to ask you in regards to the millennial reign of, Romans 5:17 and Revelation 26.
Okay.
The millennial reign of Christian people. It is embarrassing because I don't think too many people are willing to ask it. Is in this reign of Christians, as we are co-heirs with Christ in Romans, as you know, in accordance to Romans 8:17, is there going to be, what is your speculation regarding sexual pleasure, not for procreation, but for pleasure in the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christian people?
Right. So my understanding, sir, is that we'll be resurrected. So we are with the Lord resurrected, glorified, ruling with him over a repopulated earth where people will be engaging in sexual relationships for the purpose of procreation, but we will not, and I don't believe we'll be wired to. So as far as everything I can see, sexual pleasure is something for this world only, and the world to come will be so glorious that we won't miss it.
Okay. I just wanted to ask that because there's, you know, the people that were born with cerebral palsy never had a chance at romance in this present age, and I guess they're not going to have a chance in the coming age also. Is that correct?
Yeah, but think of this, though, sir. There are so many things that so many people never get a chance at in this world. I mean, there are endless, endless things. There are people who've lived their entire lives in the inner city and have never been to a beach in the ocean. There are people that have never stood on a mountaintop and looked out at things. There are people that never had the joy of having parents. They were orphaned. There are people who never had the joy of having a sibling. There are, you know, it's endless in terms of what people haven't had in this world. People had their lives cut short. They never got to live to be old. They're endless, endless things that we haven't experienced. Someone that just felt called to be single, or forget a sickness or a disease, they just never found the right person to marry and kept themselves sexually pure. They never experienced sexual pleasure. There may be within a marriage that someone is badly injured in a car accident and they can't have sexual relations for the rest of their marriage. There are all kinds of things that we don't have in this world that different ones are deprived of. It's not like, for example, if you're raised without parents, now in heaven you're going to have a home with parents to make up for it. Or an aborted baby never lived in this world at all, not even for a second. So the world to come is going to be so much more glorious, so much more wonderful, and the presence of God so extraordinary that we won't miss any of the things in this world. And what it does underscore, and to my knowledge, Rick, you get the credit for being the first person in the history of the broadcast to ask that question. And to my knowledge, I can't remember being asked that question just in general in any setting. That being said, and if it was a personal question, the bottom line is this. Sexual pleasure can be something beautiful, but the sex drive so intense that many people destroy their lives over it. Many people lose their ministries over it. Many people make terrible decisions over it. But it won't be missed in the world to come. It won't be missed because of the glories of the world to come and the beauty of the Lord and the adventure that we're going to get to live out forever and ever. So that's something to think about, the glories of the world to come, that these things that are so powerful in this age won't even be missed. Hey, thank you, sir, for the call. All right, remember, make sure you sign up for our Frontline newsletter. I can't wait to get that out to you every month. And really, I'm doing my best to be a watchman on the wall and to address critically important things. I wrote a lengthy response to Dr. Gary DeMar, an article that really troubled me. He misrepresented my position, created things I don't even believe in, and then criticized me for not raising them when I don't even believe in them, resulted to personal insults. It's just so unfortunate, simply because he rejects the place of Israel in prophecy. So I wrote a lengthy response. It's on our site, thelineoffire.org. Urgently important message for the church to stand with the Jewish people today. All there. TheLineOfFire.org. Check it out and then sign up for our email so we can keep you posted every week. Life-changing, critically important resources coming your way as we do our best to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Thanks.